Hello to you and welcome to the Jewellers Podcast, the Adelaide edition. So I'm here with two fantastic jewellers from Adelaide, Alice Potter.
Hi.
Kate Sutherland.
Hello.
Thank you so much for coming on. So Alice, do you want to give us a little bio background about yourself?
Okay, so I studied graphic design actually, because I didn't think there was any money in anything that I ever wanted to do. And there was money in graphic design. It turns out I was really bad at graphic design. So after I completed that degree, I went straight into jewellery and I studied at TAFES A, Adelaide Centre of the Arts,
yep.
Who back then, which is about 12 years ago, offered a bachelor. So I got my bachelor in visual arts and applied design. And from there, I worked independently at an artist-run initiative called Grey Street Workshop, which is one of the oldest jewellery, contemporary jewellery studios in Australia. I was already into jewellery and I studied jewellery through my degree. That was what I specialised in, and it's just fortunate that Adelaide has a place like Grey Street Workshop where jewellers can go and rent a bench.
Okay. Yeah, right.
Continue their own profession of their own volition. So I was there for about 4 years and got a job at the university working there. And from there, got a job at Jam Factory after the university. And I work independently from a studio at home now, but also work at Jam Factory part time.
Yeah, fabulous. And you came in from doing an apprenticeship, Kate. Is that right?
I went to uni straight after school, after high school, and I did a Bachelor of Visual Arts, and my interest in jewellery sort of came from there. And after I left uni, I had a couple of years kind of faffing around at a bench at home, working in jewellery stores and things like that. And then I did my apprenticeship. It took quite a while for me to find an apprenticeship to do.
So, a lot of people have that.
Yeah, it was probably about 2 years of hunting around. And then I did my apprenticeship, and after that I went back to university and did my postgraduate diploma. And then it was at the end of that diploma that one of my teachers suggested that I apply to Jam Factory. So I did. And met Alice.
And how has it been? So you were there for 6 years.
Yeah.
And so did it kind of assist you in, you know, helping you fly out into the world?
Oh, definitely. It definitely did. So when I applied to Jam Factory, it was to do the associate program, which is a 2-year training program that Jam Factory run. And that was, I think it was in my first year there that I met Alice as the...
I'm the production manager.
Production manager.
Yep, in the middle studio.
And so my first 2 years there was, I think the biggest thing that I got out of it was learning how to be a professional artist, or how to be a professional in that kind of field.
And what do you mean by that?
Sort of learning about how to broaden your practice and find out the different ways that you can run your arts practice, basically. So when I first came into Jam Factory, I sort of had it in my mind that I would make rings, which is, funnily enough, what I'm ending up doing now. But I didn't have very much of an understanding about how to make production work, how to apply to galleries, how to make pieces that you can reproduce easily and that kind of thing.
Sure.
And that doesn't just apply to jewellery making, but kind of objects and useful things like salad servers and pinch bowls for salt and pepper, which is, we made quite a lot of those while I was an associate.
So many pinch bowls.
So then by the time I finished the program, I moved into one of the tenant studios at Jam, and I've been there for 4 years. And while I was in that tenant studio, I was able to take my time to find out what kind of jeweler I want to be.
Sure. And so you're the production manager, Alice?
Yes.
So what does that do?
Okay, so there's two staff members in each studio. So at Jam Factory, we've got the four studios: glass, ceramics, furniture, and jewellery and metal.
Yeah.
Glass has probably seven staff members because they're such a huge entity unto itself. But in the metal studio, we've got the two. So there's the creative director. Every studio has a creative director, and every studio has a production manager. And my role there is to make sure that any quantities of orders that we have for Jam Factory product get fulfilled on deadline. Any commissions that we do, I make sure that the consumables are there. Any of the liaising with people who are going to help us implement the application of those commissions. For example, you know, if we've got a really large sculpture, who's going to give us sort of council approval to get the cranes in, or who's going to make sure that we have all of the, the people to sign off on all the bits and pieces. That's another sort of part of the job, running facility in the studio and, making sure that all of the machines and everything are kind of doing what they do.
Yeah. So you're the person networking, finding out.
Yeah.
Who needs work and who's got work. Bringing them together to a certain extent.
There's another level to it as well, because the associates who come through the program also are there for mentorship from the creative director. And I found that my role has almost morphed into a, you know, unofficial mentorship with some of the associates who come through as well, which is a part of the role I really enjoy as well.
Yeah.
It's not part of my job description, but I think that if you're in a shed studio, regardless of whether you mean to or not, you're going to be passing on information and passing on, you know, oh, this is how I do it this way, and have you thought about this, and you should apply for this gallery, talk to this person, they're really friendly. Little pieces of information like that are quite invaluable to people, especially since a lot of the associates that we get are from interstate. Kate is from South Australia, but I would say maybe 60% of the associates that we get through the building, 70% are either from interstate or international as well. Like off the top of my head, I don't know any organisation that's run quite like Jam Factory.
No.
Yeah.
It's a training organisation that, the two-year associateship, associate program, people come and spend 2 years learning. It's not self-directed, but it's helpful if you take initiative and you're the person going, these are the things that I need to learn. How can the people in the building help me?
Sure.
And so each studio is different, but
so it's a relationship. Like you're there with the support, but if you the person's not quite got a direction, then it's harder to provide that support.
Every associate that comes through that building is completely different. Different jewelers have different kind of practices. They have different kind of commitment levels to what they want to do. Yeah. So for the 2 years that I was there and the other associates that came through, and also the other associates that came through after I had finished, all of them are completely different and I think have got such different things from Jam Factory as a whole. But it's such a wonderful space to be, and just being around other people that are trying to figure out what they're doing the same kind of way that you are.
Yeah, yeah.
It's brilliant support for sure.
And also knowing people in those sort of parallel industries would really help.
Mm.
If people do a collective, you're not sort of all selling jewellery.
One of the great things about Jam as well is that you've got the galleries, you've got the shop, you've got people who deal with wholesale. That's, you know, their role. So if you have any questions about your work, your exhibition work, how to write a grant, how to, you know, manage your accounts, which galleries to approach, all of that sort of stuff. There's, you know, numerous people in the building who have various roles that can help lots of different people in lots of different ways. And Kate's right, you know, if your focus is just making exhibition work and just making work that is going to be on a, you know, high art end.
Yeah.
There are people there that can help you do that and sort of give you some advice around that. And then there are people like Kate who you did come from apprenticeship background and the way that what you can give Jam Factory and what Jam Factory can give you is a really nice relationship as well. And I think that's one thing to be aware of as well with Jam Factory is that when all of the studios look at the associate, the people that they want, you know, to sort of have within the associateship, it's not just about what Jam Factory can give to people. It's what, you know, people can contribute as well to Jam Factory and to the community and to all the different projects that we have going on.
Yeah. So you want people to come in and be useful in some way.
Yeah.
Rather than just, you know, oh, thank you very much. I'll take that information in my briefcase.
And I'm out of here. Yeah. We do a lot of commissions. And so to have, you know, in furniture, let's say, to have someone who's a wood turner and to have another person who's a designer on a 3D modeling programs, that's heavily useful to all of the people that work in the furniture studio.
Yeah, right.
Same with jewellery. If you've got someone who's CAD, you know, who does CAD modeling, or someone who is fantastic at production repetition, those things help us with all, you know, myriad projects that we've got going on.
And being in the same building as well, like, you know, if someone's doing, I don't know, wood inlay, you go, hey, Jess, how do you do, what wood should I use?
I think there's been quite a bit of cross-collaboration that's happened between associates and between tenants as well, which is always a really interesting thing to give a go if you've not done that sort of thing before.
So is government funded, is it? Or is there lots of voluntary things going on? So how does it work?
So it's subsidised, but it is non-for-profit, which means that the rest of the funding that Jam Factory gets to run all of the exhibitions, the workshops, the studios, the associate program, because it's about $20,000 per associate as far as the costs go for running the studios, et cetera, per year. So all of that comes from shop sales, gallery sales, volunteers that we have coming through, donors as well. We've got a lot of corporate sponsorship and also...
Yeah, great thing to sponsor if you're a company.
Yeah. Well, I'm wholeheartedly encouraging people to sponsor Jam Factory and to be donors. There's also a program called the Medici program where people, it sounds so funny, it's almost like sponsor an artist, but the Medici members, they'll contribute donations to Jam Factory, and from there they'll get certain benefits and they'll get in touch with artists on a more intimate level of commissioning them to do sculptures for them or to help them out with various things as well. So it is, we rely heavily on the public and, you know, corporate for a lot of the funding.
Yeah. So everyone's coming together to make this work.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so can you see, how long has Jam Factory been going?
Jam Factory has been going for 45 years.
Oh, wow.
So it started in 1973. Initiative of the Don Dunstan government.
Yeah.
And in 1992, that's when we moved to the building that we're currently at on Morford Street.
Yeah.
So it's a fairly well-established organisation in South Australia as far as the arts go.
Yeah.
Again, as I said, I don't know anywhere like it.
So in a sort of it's a wonderful life kind of way, can you imagine an Adelaide without Jam Factory?
Definitely not my Adelaide without Jam Factory. That building has been a massive part of my life for the last 6 years.
Because you've just set up shop, your studio.
I have. So just within the last couple of weeks, I've set up my own studio, which is where we're sitting right now. Yeah. As I was leaving Jam Factory, there was quite a few decisions that I had to make about whether I was going to set up a home studio or set up in another shared studio. But the way that my work is going at the moment, I'm basically just do bespoke commissions and bespoke jewellery for people.
Okay.
And I really wanted to set up a space that's accessible for people to come to and that's,
And Jam Factory has provided you with the ability to get the knowledge of
getting
your clients and contacts and ways of getting your work out there.
Absolutely. And directly after I had finished my associate program, I still was very unsure about what kind of jewellery I wanted to make because the other girls working around me, they're all very different and I think in comparing myself to them, which is a terrible thing, which no one should ever do.
Yeah.
I didn't know if I should be doing production work or if I should be doing bespoke work or, you know, if I should be trying to do exhibition work or what would be the best way for me to move forward. And, I think after a while, I just kind of let fate decide that for me. And especially in my last year, I think that's what happened, and I just kept making what I love to make, and people were coming to me and asking me to make things for them, which is really all I could hope for.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and I feel really happy about being here and happy about the time that I was allowed to let my practice develop.
Yeah. And what about you, Alice? Do you see a lot of success stories? Do you see people and like fill you with pride of like?
It does actually. Yeah. I mean, you know, as I said, it's an unofficial mentoring that I have with everyone, but I do consider all of the associates to go through, I now consider them colleagues and friends. And so to see everyone doing their own thing is really, really, like, I do get quite proud of people, and I completely understand where Kate's coming from, saying, should I do this? Should I do that? And I think part of my role there is to remind people that you don't have to do everything, but if you want to, you can. And like, why pigeonhole yourself into, I have to do this because this is where the money is, and I have to do commissions or I have to do production and it has to look a certain way because that's what the audience wants.
And I think being in that environment though at Jam Factory, you're allowed to try everything. You're encouraged to try everything.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. And I think that's part of what was so helpful about being there, because you've got that support to say, try this. This is how you can try it. Or try this. This is how you can try it. Yeah. And that way you can work through what you want to do and also what you don't want to do.
Yeah. And even, I mean, in a studio like that as well, because we take on a lot of large-scale commissions, like physically large scale.
Yeah.
If people have never thought about doing public art or never thought about, you know, putting expressions for interest into a council tenders, they can go, well, I've seen the process and I know how, I can see how inviting it is to actually do this and have this as a stream in my career. And I have learnt to weld, so I know how to do those sort of furniture things, and I've learnt to do this and I've learnt to do that, so that the options are open.
Yeah.
You might end up being paralysed by choice at the end. Yeah. I think. But, you know, at least you're armed with that knowledge so you can make those decisions.
So what do you take out of Jam Factory if, you know, if someone's not got the opportunity to have something like Jam Factory, what things can they do to get it? A substitute in some way, you know, is it about looking for networks?
Build a community. That's, I think, one of the big ones.
Totally. Try and find an artist-run initiative or a studio, shared studio, that takes tenants or takes people on residency benches or just short stay benches.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it is that when, like Grey Street, that I mentioned earlier, Grey Street Workshop, it was that unofficial mentoring that really helped me in those first years out of study.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what Jam Factory has, is that, you know, that community of people all working together, either for an end goal or for separate goals, but we're all there to sort of pitch in. And even if you've got a studio by yourself, I think it's very important to still do those social things with other people in the jewellery community.
Definitely.
So that you are still connected.
Or the ceramic or the...
Yeah. On, you know, any of the different communities with the different disciplines. So whether it's leatherwork or textiles.
You're going to have people who, you know, who's got a really good spreadsheet of how to work out cost of sales. There's that
Jane
kind
Loden.
Of shit.
Oh, yeah. Jane over at Zoom Design is the queen of working, of talking about numbers
send her
and
an
prices.
Email. But in the community, you can sort of borrow those things
Definitely.
From each other.
Yep. And
And it's no big deal, like, to, you know, to share those kind of things. Unless
I think it's necessary.
Oh, it definitely is. And I don't think there's been any time in my time at Jam Factory where I've asked someone a question, they've been like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's mine.
That's mine and you can't have it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that goes with anything, like anything to do with actually running a business or finding someone in the industry to help you do something,
sure.
or even helping you resolve a piece of work that you're unsure about.
Yeah.
There's just always been a plethora of people around who have been very generous with their time and with their knowledge to help you.
Because I remember Katy Perry saying once that, you know, she gets a bit intimidated by other pop stars, but she can't do it because she's her and she can't be anyone else and they can't be her. And so, so no one can replicate yourself. So
totally.
If you're sharing,
I totally agree with that.
You're not going to step on each other's toes.
And even if someone attempts to replicate what you do, it's going to be obvious that it's not your work. It's going to be obvious that they've, you know, done something else. And I think the people who guard that information are only hurting themselves.
That's true.
But it doesn't help the community. It doesn't help that sort of sense of camaraderie as well.
Yeah,
which I really like in our community.
Yeah.
I really do.
It's brilliant. There've been plenty of late nights in our old studio, late nights, cups of tea, laughs, many conversation about how do I do this and how do I do that. And, you know.
And how are you getting things to the public? So, because sort of the jeweler to jeweler part is quite easy. You look on Instagram and jewelers are following each other.
Yeah.
But how do you sort of break from that jeweler to jeweler to jeweler to consumer and sort of build that new network? Is there any tips that you've...
Again, I think that's different for everybody.
Yeah.
In my experience, and I think this also comes down to the type of work that I do as well, I've just been recommended through word of mouth and also through Instagram and Facebook. And that's basically where all my business has come from. I mean, the internet is fantastic. That's been brilliant. Also, just going back to the jeweler to jeweler thing, Young Jewelers Group has been absolute savior for asking questions that we don't have the answers to in our direct community.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And knowing that, you're going to get a professional response as well.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like Google, like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then end up blowing yourself up.
Professional responses.
Yeah, right.
Which is brilliant.
People were willing to take out the time to.
Yeah.
To help others.
Which then shows you that the community is much broader than just your city.
Yeah.
And just those people that are in front of you.
Yeah.
Which is really nice.
Yeah.
But I agree. The internet's a fascinating, incredible source of. You know, people coming to you for work and people, you know, recommending you or.
Yeah.
So there's different ways as well of getting your work out there beyond selling it direct. So there is consignments, wholesale markets. Do you recommend doing just all of them? Are there ones that work better? Because they're all different sort of.
Yeah.
For example, with wholesale, you're expected to be able to times it 2.2 to get the retail, and that often means that your value selling it from you to consumer, you can't quite do it because it's quite difficult in price wise.
Trying everything and seeing what works and what doesn't work has been a really good way for me. I tried doing a market and I hated it.
It's hard work. Hey?
They are really hard work.
It's not for me at all. I do have some work on consignment in Jam Factory and that's been really helpful. In terms of applying to galleries, I think, Alice, you should field that one.
It's every gallery is different and I think that is what makes it tricky, but
yeah.
just having the process of going... What's the worst that can happen? they'll say no.
Yeah, right.
And then
That's
I'll go on to another gallery and I'll say, hey, I really like the stuff that you've got. My work looks similar to some of the stuff that you've got there. So it could be part of your range for your target audience. This is what I have available. Would you be interested? And if they say no, you go to the next one. Or they say yes and you either do, you know, work on consignment or you do work on wholesale, depending on what it is you're comfortable doing.
Yeah.
There are some jewelers who only work selling outright. And then some people who are more interested in having the representation of the gallery.
Yeah.
So are comfortable with consignment work. Yeah.
Yeah. So wholesale is you do have to spend more in terms of selling your work for cheaper, mm-hmm. but yeah. you sell it and then
it's done.
It's up to them, you know, rather than sort of walking around, you know, going to sort of galleries and, you know, oh, you know, wine's in the corner there. Like.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. You've got to trust that the gallery's got your interests at heart as well, because if you're giving them work on consignment, you want to know that they're going to invest the time in showing their customers your work. They're going to put you in a spot that people will see your work. They're going to suggest you to someone that comes in going, I really want something that's black and gold. Do you have any earrings that are this big, XYZ, to give you some dimensions and they can show your work amongst, you know, a couple of other people. So, it you know, you need to trust that the galleries that you're going for are going to actually, you know, put the effort in.
And there are some great galleries in Australia who make that known, that they are that type of gallery.
Yes.
That they are for the Australian artists.
Yeah.
They're going to help you out as much as possible.
And I think you can see that through social media as well. And if social media is going to help us individually as people who take commissions on and who do work for individuals, it also is really important to see how a gallery manages their social media and how they market their artists as well.
You're seeing in real time how you're being presented, not in the shop, but it's going to be reflective in some way.
And so if you can see that you're not being represented by them on this very powerful tool, you can say, all right, well, is it worth me having hundreds of dollars worth of stock in your shop?
Yeah. Or having the gall to say, hi.
Yes.
Could you?
let's rethink this relationship. Yeah.
What kind of materials are you two working in? Are you 9 carat, 18 carat, platinum, silver, everything?
Give me 18 carat.
Yeah.
It's
pretty lush.
Yeah. 18 carat, white, yellow, rose gold. There's a new type of silver that ChemGold is making at the moment that has palladium in it.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it so much. And I never ever want to work with normal sterling silver ever again.
Yeah,
but
because that's all about fire scale.
Also, the color is slightly better and it feels slightly different. So I've been telling everyone about that. It's really amazing. I'm not sure if they cast in that silver. I've just been buying it in stock gauge.
Okay.
But it's definitely worth asking for sure.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But I'm mostly just working with that silver and all the golds at the moment, which is great. Yeah. Loving it.
And you do a lot of stones as well in your work.
Yes, I love stones. So pretty much all of the work that I've done for this year at the end of last year has been engagement rings of various types and wedding rings of various types as well.
Yeah.
Which I hope is setting a tone for how the rest of the year and the following years will go.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And what about you?
I work with everything.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like I'm a bit of a jack of all trades when it comes to materials. When I do like working with 18 carat, just because it's just so lovely to work with. And the colour of 18 carat yellow is just incredible. Stones, because, you know, colour and shiny things, I'm a bit of a magpie in that regard. But then with my production work, with all of the work that I sort of send out to shops and galleries, that's, silver, powder-coated brass to get the colour in there, or powder-coated copper. I like using glass and lots of different bits and pieces. I used to work heavily in found objects, plastics, woods, all that sort of stuff.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was a bit crazy. And
where do you find them?
I frequent a lot of op shops and garage sales, and people just give me a whole lot of stuff. I have shelves and shelves of boxes of, you know, these are all of my plastic animals, and these are all of my plastic people, and these are all of my pom-poms, and these are all of my, this is my box of glitter.
But I love that when you're doing something and you're like, oh my God, I've got the perfect thing because I'm a hoarder.
And then it takes you 5 hours to find it. But hoarding can be useful. I also do a whole lot of sculpture for exhibitions as well. So mostly wearable, but sometimes not so much, more object type of thing. And that is lots of textile, lots of sequins, paints.
Okay.
Beads, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So that stuff can get a bit crazy. Still with the found objects and stuff. But if we're talking about a jewellery material base, I just love working with gold and stones.
Yeah.
Because you can just, get really nice sheens and colours, etc.
And you were talking about doing sort of government structures and art installments and stuff like that. Like, from working in millimetres to working in metres, how does that work? Do you have, is it just people who are working in metres all the time, or is it everybody jump in, let's work this out together, or?
At JAM, I think it's everyone jump in and work it all out together. There's usually one person that sort of runs the project.
Okay.
So one person who's got the numbers down, but there always needs to be a second person who's got also their head around the numbers, so that there's always a double checking system. I don't know that we'll ever be able to not work in millimeters though. Even when you're working with huge, large scale things, we tend to be like, oh, this is 5 mil out. Why is it? Because we can see the imperfections in that. Whereas someone who works in sculpture predominantly probably wouldn't care as much as we do.
Well, I was measuring a room the other day in centimetres, and someone came up and started putting zeros in it.
No, it's millimetres.
Okay.
Exactly. So it does change things, and it does make you think about things in a whole different light.
Can you think of an example of, like, a massive structure that you made, out of?
What was that one that we did at the school?
So it was called Seeds of Mercy.
Seeds of Mercy. That was my favourite one. It was brilliant.
So that was for St. Aloysius Girls' School, and it was a large sculpture that represented a huge tree to tribute a principal who'd been there for 30 years. And so there was a whole lot of workshops that the associates did with the students. And then from there we worked out what was important to the students to include.
Yeah.
And then from there we all, it was a group effort to sort of come up with the design. It was this very large scale stainless steel tree that was attached to a wall in the school that had these glass components of seeds floating off of the tree.
Beautiful.
It was I remember that I was actually talking to someone the other day about the weekend we spent putting that up and how exhausted we all were at the end, but it was a beautiful
It was a big job.
Beautiful job.
It was a big job. But again, I remember working on that and sort of looking at the metal bits that we had made and the glass bits that had been made, and looking at all the tiny little bits in there that maybe shouldn't have been in there. But then once we got it up on the wall, and after the many days of installing, once you step back and have a look at it as a whole, you know, it's a completely different ball game than trying to look at something that's, you know, 5 millimetres big.
Yeah. Mm. And is there a lot of pressure for these sorts of things with time limits and wanting it to be perfection? And
yes, there is. Luckily for Kate and the other associates, they don't have to deal with those pressures. It's only the staff that have to sort of make sure that everything's ticking over. But we rely heavily on the associates to help us and to be, you know, the brawn or to be the extra brains or to make sure that, you know, they're available for us to.
So it's a massive production.
Yeah.
You do have to be really on the ball when that sort of large scale project is going on. Like, I mean, that during the time as an associate, you know, there's times where there's, you can relax a little bit more and you can be a little bit more loose with what you're doing. But when there's big jobs like this on, you've got to be switched on.
Yeah, all hands on deck.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I think that's one of the nice things about Jam Factory is that ebbs and flows with commissions, gives you an idea of how that would be in your own practice as well. So the things that come through the studio that are specifically for the studio, it might be a manic 4 weeks where we've got three jobs on the go, and then we might have 4 weeks of nothing where the associates get to focus a bit more on their own practices and, you know, the bits and pieces that they have, you know, the questions that they've brought with them to the program that they can start to sort of, you know, chip away at.
There's also making those South Australia pins, and even though they were small, it was a small pin, we had to make so many of those. It was like, I don't even know how many, thousands.
Yeah. So Brand SA, when South Australia changed its branding and its logo, the company Brand SA came to our studio and said, we want a silver lapel pin. It can, you know, it's a gift from Premier and Cabinet, or, you know, Department of Infrastructure, whoever commissions us to do it.
Cool.
That they give out to corporate or political friends and guests. And we had one order for 700 of them in one go. And I personally have overseen the production of, Kate's right, thousands of them.
Yeah.
And that is sort of one of those production stages where we're grateful that we have jewellers that come into the studio who have those hand skills that you need to sit and polish thousands of things at once.
Yeah.
But we had one associate who had really shocking soldering skills, but then by the end of her, you know, run of 200 pins, she was a pro at it, and she was really more, she was a lot more confident, and, you know, took on new challenges within her own work because of the skills that the practice that she'd got within that as well.
Yeah.
But Kate's right, you know, it doesn't have to be large scale to be
challenging.
To be challenging.
Yeah. So if someone's listening is interested in Jam Factory, would you recommend that they have it as a prerequisite? What should they be doing at home, and how can they approach you? All that sort of stuff.
Anyone can approach us. You don't have to have just finished tertiary study. You don't have to have just, you know, done an apprenticeship or a bachelor in visual arts. We have people who are boilermakers or industrial designers. They apply for the program as well in our studio. It's handy to have experience within creating a practice for yourself, but what we're looking for in our associates is are people that want to work on their practice and want to make a viable and visible living from what they do.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be anything. And as long as they can present an application that shows us that they're dedicated to what they're doing, that they can give us something and that they can actually take something away from the program, that's the sort of people that we're looking for to apply.
So you can read that passion, you can see.
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely. And it just takes an email to myself or Sarah Rothy, the new creative director.
And we can
talk through, you know, what it is that you want and what you want to get out of Jam Factory and whether or not it's the right thing.
Yeah. Because she's doing really well, I follow.
Yes.
Sarah. Yeah.
She's doing great. So she's still got her shop in Region Arcade in Adelaide, and she does markets galore because she's a market girl. And she does it well.
She does, yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah, her presentation is incredible.
Yes.
For you know. For a portable market to look immaculate is not an easy job.
I don't know how she actually does everything to the standard that she does and sort of not fall over.
Yeah, yeah.
She must get zero sleep. That's how I see it.
Yeah. I did markets for a while. It is good, like waking up early in the morning, putting you know, watching the sunrise as you're driving down.
Yeah.
Listening to some good music, getting you, but you know, it is tough to then sit there for 8 hours and hope that
people appreciate what you've done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hope you get the sales that you need. Yeah. So how are you, Kate, doing post Jam Factory? Are you having a little bit? Are you missing it a little bit?
Or are you totally ready? Missing the girls for sure. definitely. But I do feel ready to be out on my own. I feel like I've been working towards this for quite a long time now. So it feels good to take that step forward and take the plunge into the world of solo
of life,
solo run studio life.
Yeah.
I would have been here without having gone through Jam Factory and learning everything that I did learn while I was there.
So do you see Jam Factory as that bridge between education and doing it for yourself?
Yes. Yeah, I think I see it as two bridges.
Okay.
Because I see the associate program as one bridge, and I also see my time as being a tenant there as another bridge, because those learning experiences were quite separate in my mind. It was very different being a tenant there in comparison to being an associate. So I feel very lucky to have spent 6 years there, because that was quite a long time, even though it feels like it's gone in an absolute blink of an eye.
Yeah. And for you, Alice, what was it called?
Grey Street Workshop.
Did you feel that was your bridge from education?
I mean, I remember my first, month at Grey Street, I just sat at my desk in my own world saw piecing because I didn't know what else to do. But it definitely helps to have a supportive network, regardless of whether it's Jam Factory, or whether you do work experience regularly with someone, or whether you do short courses to gain different or, advanced skills that you've already got.
Yeah.
I think those things are really necessary, and it is about those contacts that you get through those shared studios.
Yeah.
And Kate's right, the two different experiences that she had, I feel like you being a tenant at Jam Factory is almost similar to me being a tenant at Grey Street, because you have to do everything off your own volition. You write your own proposals, you get your own commissions, you don't have to be there at 9 o'clock in the morning, but you do because you want...
Because it's your business.
Yeah, it's your business.
It's
you
want
to make a
passion and your practice, and it's what you're aiming to do for your life's work.
So I would definitely recommend that if people don't, sort of jump into another training organisation, they do try and fill their career and their practice with other people of, who are like-minded.
Sure. Don't go out in the world alone. And
It's hard to go out in the world alone. And that's where places like that are really, really beneficial, because you don't have to.
Yeah.
No one has to. Even if you're in a studio at home by yourself, pick up the phone and call someone and say, hey, can I come and hang out in your studio for an hour and see what you're doing, and...
Yeah, you have that interest in other people, and they're beautiful. And what we ask everyone on the Jewelers podcast is what you listen to at the bench. Are you a silence person? No.
Definitely not a silence person.
Okay.
My favourite podcast that we've been listening to in Studio 7, Law, number one, that's spelt L-O-R-E, not...
Oh, okay, like folklore.
Folklore, yes, it's folklore tales. I also really like Unexplained with Richard McLean Smith.
Yeah.
Also the Myths and Legends podcast is quite entertaining as well.
Yeah.
I think they're probably my top three.
Two of those are in my subscription.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So you're podcast people over music.
Chop
and change.
I do have a quite extensive and varied Spotify playlist. It's sort of one of those ones that if anyone gets onto my playlist, why have you got Les Mis next to Ja Rule, next to something that's, quite contemporary, or, it's like, but one of the podcasts that I really like listening to is My Favourite Murder. And some of the other girls in the studio got me onto that one.
I don't know if I've said this before on the podcast, but when I look at the Jewelers podcast and see what other listeners are listening to, apart from that, it is crime.
true crime. We're all sitting in these dark studios with our headphones in, waiting for someone to burst through the door. But we'll be prepared.
So any last words of wisdom that you want to share with people? Is it just a case, get out there, meet people?
Give it a red hot go, see what happens.
Good on you, yeah.
Ask questions. I think that's like the biggest thing that I tell my current associates anyway, is ask questions. If you want to know something, ask, and someone will point you in the right direction, and what's the worst that can happen?
So what are your Instagrams, Facebooks, people just, follow you, get involved?
My Instagram is Kate Sutherland Jewelry, all one word. And my Facebook is the same as that. Yeah. And my website is katesutherland.com.au.
Yeah.
Nice. And my social media is Alice Potter Alice.
Yeah.
And my website is alicepotter.com.
Awesome. And Jam Factory, Jam Factory on Instagram? I haven't actually looked.
Yes, they are. Jam Factory AU. Jam Factory, one word, is don't look that up. I don't know who that is. Jam Factory AU. And our website is jamfactory.com.au.
Yeah.
And all of the contact details for all the studios are through there as well.
So get involved, sponsor.
Definitely.
Apply.
Donate. Look, come and say hi.
Come and say hi. Fabulous.
See our galleries.
Yeah.
We offer workshops. Do the workshops.
Workshops are great.
Yeah. Good work. Awesome. Thank you so much
for having
a chat. Really enjoyed that.
It was wonderful. Thank you.
See you next month.
Great.
Thanks. Bye.